Hi, listeners, and welcome to our latest podcast. It's been a couple months since our last podcast with Tom Egan, Vice President of Industry Services for PMMI, and we're glad to have him back. He's going to share some thoughts today on the next generation, if you will, of robotic solutions for meat manufacturing, and he's going to chime in on this in conjunction with his column that he wrote for us in the September 2014 issue. Tom, thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate it, as always.
Great. Glad to be having another opportunity to speak with you and to participate in the podcast, Andy.
All right. So let's get into it. It was a great column. You know, robotics obviously has been talked about around the meat industry for a while, and it's slowly but surely kind of creeping in for a little bit there. Now it seems to be picking up a little bit of steam in terms of some of the plant visits I've been on. I've been seeing more and more, if you will, general robotics creeping into the process, the operations on the packaging side, and even on the processing side. From your perspective, though, what are some of the next generation robotic solutions that meat manufacturers are implementing in the facilities? What have you seen that maybe I haven't shown necessarily in my travels, my cover stories?
Yeah, I think what you're covering is spot on, Andy. I would say that from the trending perspective, I completely agree with you that we are seeing a growth in the use of robotics in both the packaging and processing across all segments, and certainly that includes the meat segment. You know that PMMI did a study earlier this year, I think released in May, that talked about the use of robotics in all areas of the industry. And in the study, we spoke about a few items that are really taking precedent. One is that as we are increasing the use of vision capability and the integration of vision capability with the mechanical and electronic capability of the robot itself, then you're able to utilize the robot in more and more applications. And that certainly leads to the opportunity to move into processing. As you know, we need to really work and to maximize the yield that you have off of every piece of product that you're able to generate on the processing line. So one of the areas that we see is the integration of the vision in terms of handling the meat as it's first coming in and doing the initial processing of it. The second one that I think we need to take a look at are the better controls. So while it's not the actual robot on the processing line, it's the ability of the operating and technical personnel at the facility to work with the robot in a more straightforward fashion. All of the robotic manufacturers are very focused on being sure that that interface, the HMI, the human-machine interface, is much easier and intuitive for the operator and for the technical personnel at the facility. And I think that opportunity also for a cleaner design, which leads us into some of those areas, will provide that opportunity to say, hey, we're going to continue to grow. Our robotic study indicated that food processors right now are using robots at a relatively low rate, although over the next 5 years they do expect the growth of the number of companies using robots and the number of robots in the facilities to increase pretty dramatically.
So, Tom, what then, you know, based on that data point there, or that data trend, if you will, what are some of the biggest challenges that meat manufacturers are facing in terms of, you know, obviously there's a lot of challenges, but what can automation help them solve, if you will? And kind of a sidebar question to that is, what has been the challenge for meat manufacturers in terms of installing these robotic systems? You know, what has kind of held that back, if you could chime in on that?
Yeah, in fact, in doing a little bit of background work, I looked at the Robotics Industry Association information, and they had press releases from robot manufacturers going back into 2007, 2008 about the installation of robots in food facilities. What has really changed over this time, certainly in these past 7 years that we're looking at, is the improvement in the design of the robot to allow for a cleaner design and therefore to be put into a facility that requires cleanliness in all of its operations. We want the whatever machine that goes into a food processing facility to be able to both be cleaned and to maintain a clean operating area so that it is working in conjunction with providing a safe product to the marketplace. So I think that the need for cleanliness and the improvement in being able to provide a robot with smoother surfaces, with better coatings for resistive properties, are really one of the biggest items. I think the second one is that the operators, as part, indirectly at least, as part of the Food Safety Modernization Act, you want to be sure that a robot in a production area is as hygienic as possible, and being able to free up operators from being right involved with the direct meat contact is a positive in almost every instance. So this chance to have the robot perform this operation is a good one. I think the robot can deal with a little bit heavier load on a more consistent basis. Doesn't mean that there's not automation in place to handle hundreds of pounds. It's that when you're moving a product around on routinely, that the robot is designed to handle that little bit heavier load. And I think that, as we said, the sanitary machine design, Andy, is that element that says, this has brought it together for us. Now with the advancements in vision, we're able to push it and allow it to go farther into the processing operation than what we have before.
So in some ways, it was the sanitation and the food safety of the product that was holding back meat manufacturers from installing robots, and now in many ways it's really helping them at the end of the day, because there's a food safety benefit in many instances to putting in this automation and the robotics, certain ones. Obviously not every single robot or automated system it falls in that category, but now it's almost a solution in many ways.
It is. It's a viable solution. It's an economically viable, and it is a production-capable viability that says that from an initial cost and an operating cost, there is some good opportunity here, and we know that we can keep this particular piece of equipment clean and in a clean environment to continue to help us to provide a safe product to the consumers and the whole of the marketplace.
Okay, so beyond the food safety aspect, and then you mentioned the worker safety aspect, kind of the elimination of the heavy lifting, the heavy loading, I would assume it takes out some of the repetitive motion kind of injuries that employees would have by doing the
Absolutely.
Same thing, because a robot can obviously do it a lot more than a human being, and, the robot doesn't get injured. Beyond those things, what ways are the technologies helping meat manufacturers specifically and more broadly, because obviously it's going to help the food manufacturers too, but meat manufacturers in particular?
I think the continuing advance that we're seeing is allowing even more flexibility to be built into what the robot can do. So we understand, and certainly the industry needs, the ability to change from product A to product B, and the flexibility to change from handling perhaps one type, let's say a sliced product, and then go into a ground product, just as an example. That can be a bit of a change, and within that change you say, well, if the robot is able to help me, does it have that capability to move among a variety of products, and then can I change even the formats that I'm going to use it on? as the robot continues to improve its capability and as the vision integration gets better and as the operator interface continues to become even more intuitive, we have a tool that can really improve the throughput and the yield that you have, the throughput, the number of products, and the yield, the amount of saleable product that you can get from each starting method or starting at the beginning of the line that you're able to bring forward. And I think that you're going to continue to see those two pieces, Andy.
Sounds great, Tom. So the study you mentioned earlier on robotics that was released in the spring, the May time frame, that can be found at PMMI.org?
It can. It's called Trends in Robotics 2014. It's on PMMI.org, and I think we make the executive summary available. It talks a little bit about the different areas where the robots are growing, and so any of your readers and listeners can review what the overall industry is doing and how and where they fit in their current processes and where it's going. As I mentioned, that growth of saying that even though the food processing use is relatively low right now, it is increasing, and the next five-year forecast is for it to continue to increase. So it's not just the number of companies that will be doing more, that's the forecast, but it's that the companies that are using the robotics will be using more robots in their operations. And that is really an opportunity for your listeners and readers to look and say, okay, what should I be thinking about in particular for my operating environment?
Perfect. And then obviously with PAC Expo coming up here in Chicago, November 2nd to the 5th this year, you know, there's, you know, I'm sure plenty of solutions that'll be on exhibit there. So, you know, I know listeners can go to PACExpoInternational.com, get registered, see what's, see why to attend and what's on the docket and everything. And, you know, we'll look forward to the show. And thanks again, as usual, Tom, for chiming in and for contributing. We really appreciate the expertise. And, you know, maybe in 4 or 5 years, we'll be doing these podcasts with robotics ourselves.
Now that may be a possibility. Certainly appreciate the mention about PAC Expo International. The two or three areas, the end-of-arm tooling, because there's going to be some really great displays of that by the robotic manufacturers. That's really where the robot meets the product that they're trying to handle. So whether it be a soft pickup or it be the capability to handle the product in a more gentle or in a quicker fashion or even to change over more quickly, they'll see that. And the last one, I'm going to encourage all of the professionals that attend the PAC Expo International is to check out some of the learning sessions that are in an area that we call the innovation stage. They can range from pharma to food to beverage, almost any different market segment. The interesting thing there is that if you are in, let's say, meat for your readers, you may be sitting in on something where a person's describing a solution that they've brought in the pharma area. The opportunity for you is to say, I didn't realize that, or you know what? That may have an opportunity to apply over in my area. It's that serendipity opportunity and something that we find many attendees get as they look at all that is available at PAC Expo.
That's right. We can all learn from each other, and there's always some opportunity.
Exactly right. Yeah, well said.
For a very innovative person, they might see something at one of the pharma events and say, "Well, I might be able to do something with that." So it makes total sense. So look forward to it. Look forward to seeing you at PAC Expo, and we'll be talking again soon, Tom. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, Andy.